What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, December 4th, 2017, getting into the start of a brand new week. And as has become all too common occurrence, as soon as my radio show starts, my web server, whatreallyhappened.com, comes under massive DOS attack, trying to keep people from finding out what's going on. In fact, this is very, very intense. The load average is at a record high. So we'll just let the children throw their tantrum, and we'll get into the radio show right now. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, and ready to answer your calls when you call on in. Let's see. Now, as you probably know, Donald Trump earlier today had a press conference from Salt Lake City, Utah, talking about pulling back, shrinking back on some of these declared national monuments, and in particular, his intention to shrink the Bears Ears and the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments spanning millions of acres in Utah. And these two national monuments are among 27 that Trump ordered Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to review early this year. Now, the Grand Staircase Escalante was a big stink. That one was declared into existence by Bill Clinton, and it basically made off-limits the low-sulfur coal deposits located on that land, forcing companies that needed low-sulfur coal to buy it from Asia from Bill Clinton's cronies over there. It also violated Utah's statehood agreement because that coal was pledged to support Utah's educational system, and without that coal, Utah had to accept federal funding for their schools and along with it federal control. So I'm glad that Trump is pulling back on that. Whether the reduction in the Grand Staircase Escalante is going to include the gold coal reserves or not remains to be seen. Now, apparently last Friday, and it's a pattern for the government to drop bad news or scandal news on a Friday. Everybody's into weekend mode, and by Monday, it's old news. But apparently, the FBI dropped more Hillary records on Friday, confirming that Uranium One was indeed part of the investigation. And so a lot of email preservation and production requests are going on out to the CFIUS members who are involved in that decision-making process to sell that uranium to Russia. Now, according to another story that came on out, this one from Investment Watch blog, the Department of Justice has been investigating the FBI for the last 11 months. Ever since Trump won the election, the Department of Justice is investigating the FBI, apparently for obstruction in the way they handled several investigations regarding the Clintons, including the Uranium One scandal, Hillary's emails server, the Clinton Foundation, and so it may be that we're going to start seeing some obstruction charges coming forward. And I think probably most people were completely unaware there even was an investigation here. So anyway, getting on back to the problems that Michael Flynn is in. Yes, he did lie under oath to the FBI, and that's a problem. But the reality is, if you get into what they actually talked about when he was talking to the Russian ambassador, there were two issues. One was Trump's message to Russia not to overreact to the sanctions that had been thrown on them by the Obama administration, and two, seeking Russia's support to derail the UN resolution regarding Israel's activities in Palestine. So once again, Israel's in the muck there. None of these were inappropriate. Trump had won the election, it was in the transition period, and it is perfectly normal for presidents and their staff to make contacts with foreign governments and start establishing lines of communication with which to conduct business. So again, it's a big nothing burger, and it underscores the fact that after almost a year of investigation and all that money that's been spent, Robert Mueller has not been able to find anything substantive about Russian-Trump collusion during the campaign. Even Alan Dershowitz is out there saying the arrest of Flynn shows how weak Mueller's case against Trump really is. There's nothing there. And still they're ignoring the evidence of Russian collusion in the Uranium One deal. So we're seeing Russiagate start to mutate to Israelgate, because Flynn's unsuccessful efforts on behalf of the Israelis were the fruit of an Israeli appeal to the incoming Trump administration. And supposedly, the Obama State Department signed off on the Trump administration having contacts with the Russian government, being in the transition. And apparently, Kushner was the one who directed Flynn to make this contact and present this idea about Russia vetoing this UN resolution regarding Israel's crimes against the Palestinians. So all of a sudden, this is turned away from Russian collusion to Israel meddling once again. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And a lot of people have picked up on this story over at MondoWeiss.net. They have a story about how Flynn's plea on Russia influence reveals Israel's influence. The one who was wielding this influence out of school, so to speak, was Israel, not Russia. Another story coming out of Information Clearinghouse, the curious case of Jared Kushner and the Israel lobby. And they're making the point that Kushner crossed the line from using his First Amendment right to speak freely about government policy into trying to subvert official U.S. policy in favor of Israel. So there's the real meat. That's what Robert Mueller has found. It's not what he wanted to find. He's trying to find something and can take Trump down with, and he's coming up short. Now, apparently, the Mueller investigation has been hit with their own scandal, because apparently one of the FBI agents working for Mueller, Peter Strzok, was outed for some very pro-Hillary Clinton, anti-Trump tweets that he was making, revealing that he's not unbiased and objective. He was the deputy head of counterintelligence at the FBI, and he was a key player in the Hillary investigation. So this guy was biased going on in, and Mueller has now reassigned him, and Congress is now demanding hearings, and it looks like that's going to happen. So let's look at this idea about foreign interference in American elections. They're trying to make a big deal about this. And the reality is that nobody can prove Russian interference in our election. Everybody is sternly ignoring Israel's constant interference in our internal politics. But as it turns on out, there was a study that was done showing that foreign lobbyists contributed more than $4.5 million to candidates in the 2016 elections. And the way they do that is they'll hire U.S. citizens to act as their representatives in the U.S. They will transfer the funds to them. Then the U.S. citizen will transfer it to the candidates in question. And it's a way of getting around bans on direct foreign donations. And Bill Clinton used exactly the same thing back in 1994 during the Chinagate scandal. And it is a loophole that should be closed. But Russia seems to be the least of the players, certainly behind Israel and behind all these other countries. Now, remember former Democratic Congresswoman Corrine Brown? She had her day in court. She has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. And she was convicted in this federal fraud case on May 18th. And it was a long wait, and it was a sentencing hearing. She pled for mercy. But basically, she was convicted on 18 counts, including wire fraud, tax evasion, and other crimes stemming from her theft from a Virginia-based charitable foundation. She was found guilty on 7 counts of wire fraud, 5 counts of mail fraud, 1 count of scheming to conceal material facts, 3 tax fraud charges, 1 count of obstructing IRS laws. And basically what it is Brown used a charity to enrich herself. Boy, where have we heard that one before? I seem to recall one of the candidates in last year's election has a charity that doesn't actually do a lot of charitable work and has never had an audit. And I think maybe maybe it's time for that to actually happen. Now, over at ABC, everybody's turned on Brian Ross over that major mistake that he made, or this lie, which it may well have been, where he was reporting on Michael Flynn's guilty plea in lying to the FBI and reported that the contacts with the Russian ambassador had taken place during the Trump campaign. And everybody lit up on that and said, oh, that's it. We've got Trump now. We've got him in a headlock. And, of course, it triggered like a 300-point drop on the Dow. And it turned out Ross was inaccurate. All of the contacts that have been documented took place during the transition, which is when such contacts are supposed to happen. Michael Flynn didn't do anything wrong. Trump did nothing wrong. Brian Ross certainly did. But in they're piling on to him. He's been suspended for 4 weeks without pay. And back in October 2001, Ross had another one of his notorious false news stories when he reported that an anthrax-laced letter sent to then-Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle's office contained traces of bentonite. Ross went on to report that, as far as is known, only one country, Iraq, has used bentonite to produce biological weapons. That turned out to be a complete lie and a fiction. And remember, the actual anthrax used in those letters was determined to have come from a U.S. government biological warfare laboratory. Now, getting on over to the obsession we are now having with sexual assault charges. Article out of shtfplan.com. Apparently, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office is deliberately dragging their feet into its investigation into rape allegations against disgraced liberal Hollywood figure Harvey Weinstein. And the lawyer for the plaintiff is noting the city's district attorney already has a history of refusing to file charges against powerful sexual predators. And apparently Weinstein's organization made a contribution to the district attorney's campaign. So given enough time, the corruption just spreads to every corner of our universe. Now, Donald Trump has quit waffling. He's hopped off the fence, and he's now given Roy Moore his full endorsement. And at this point, it's pretty much obvious that all of the sexual allegations brought forward in this case were, in fact, an orchestrated smear job. The stories have all fallen apart on examination. Other people have come forward to say, no, it didn't happen. In one case, one of the accusers has a long history of mental illness, drug abuse, and lying. So hopefully Roy Moore is going to win, because the Democrats are desperate to win the Senate, and they're within a couple of seats now. If Roy Moore loses to his opponent, that's going to be one more Democratic seat. And I think that's one of the reasons they're trying so hard. Meanwhile, apparently an organization partnered with George Soros finance groups and led by a radical leftist who's the half-brother of the infamous controversial Reverend Al Sharpton have been diligent working over the last few weeks to register convicted felons across Alabama so that they will go out and vote against Roy Moore. And basically, the man spearheading the campaign has stated outright that the effort is meant to ensure a Democratic victory in Alabama. And the thousands of felons reported newly registered over the past few weeks were most likely not included in any recent polling on the Alabama Senate race put out by major firms. Well, we need to take a very, very close look at this, because in Alabama, people convicted of a felony lose their right to vote. The same is true in pretty much every other state in the union. Now, some people convicted of a felony may apply to have their vote restored upon completion of their full sentence. those convicted of certain felony offenses, such as murder, rape, incest, sexual crimes against children, and treason, are not eligible for reenfranchisement. So somebody better be taking a good look at those registrations. Because the process to have your vote restored, it's a long amount of paperwork. It doesn't happen overnight. So it looks like the Democrats are still up to their vote-rigging games yet again. Meanwhile, Maxine Waters is out there flapping her gums saying, we're going to find that Trump needs to be impeached. And again, nothing but fantasies in their concerns against Trump. They're just still angry that they weren't able to steal the White House for Hillary Clinton. And Dianne Feinstein is out there, and the same thing about her concern about Trump's ability to do his job rises by the day. Now, Trump needs to stop playing nice guy, needs to stop the rope-a-dope. You got to put on those presidential brass knuckles, because the entire Democratic political machine, and sadly, a lot of Republicans are out for him. They want him out of that White House. He can't be counted on to do what they want him to do. Now, as you know, the Congress, the Senate specifically, passed the GOP tax plan late Friday, and everybody's out there already trying to figure out what it's going to mean, because apparently at the last second there were a whole bunch of modifications and additions. In fact, one of the senators complained that when he was handed that final document, there were a bunch of handwritten pages in there that were simply illegible. Now, why they would vote on something they can't understand begs explanation, but they did. But then Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley decided to have a case of foot-in-mouth disease, and apparently in an interview with the Des Moines Register, he basically said the Congress wasn't interested in tax cut for working people because they just waste the money on booze or women. You know, that the rich people are investing and the rich people are good for the economy. And those working class people, you know, the more money you let them have, the more they'll just fritter it away. So we weren't concerned about tax cuts for them. It's all about the donor class. That's what Congress is looking at. The people who sign them their checks to loot the country for the benefit of the money junkies. Now, getting on over into the war zones, apparently, the British government has suspended a foreign aid project after a BBC Panorama investigation found taxpayers' cash was being diverted to extremists in Syria. And officers from a British-backed police force in Syria have also been working with the courts carrying out these brutal sentences. And a UK government spokesman said that it takes allegations of cooperation with terrorist groups extremely serious. Well, that's what our government was saying until it came on out that our government was, in fact, supporting the extremists, ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Now, a lot of people are very concerned that having lost in Syria, losing in Afghanistan, and not wanting to lose the momentum of the war machine, that they're going to get another war going just as quickly as they can. They're not really all that close to get war with Iran going, although Israel's pushing as hard as they can. North Korea is still a standoff and may not happen because North Korea now has a nuclear deterrent. So that what's now left on the menu? Lebanon. They're going to go into Lebanon. And already Israel's out there overflying their territory and firing on Syria from inside Lebanon. That's a violation of their airspace. But according to this article that we put up at whatreallyhappened.com, you know, they're asking, why is Washington staying in Syria when ISIS is supposedly gone? Will there be another attempt to overthrow Bashar al-Assad in the near future? Yes. And meanwhile, the growing rancor between Israel and Hezbollah will probably lead to a war there as well. Here a war, there a war, everywhere a war, war. We'll be back after these few words.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Get out your paper and pencil here, because if you'd like to be a supporter to Republic Broadcasting, the address to send a check, money order, box tops, what have you, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, and that's in Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number, if you want to call in with a credit or debit card, is 800-724-2719, extension 03. And we really do need your help. RBN needs your help. WhatReallyHappened.com needs your help. Things are very, very tight. We're dealing with failing hardware, rising prices for various services on the net. And we may have to be in a position of having to pay for a faster channel on the new deregulated unneutral, non-neutral internet. All right, getting on back to the war zones here. The Israelis carried out an attack near Damascus. They're claiming they killed 12 Iranians. And this is a very touchy situation, because Netanyahu's been claiming that Iran has built military bases all over Syria, even though his Minister of Defense, Avigdor Lieberman, is saying, no, they've just got some trainers there is all. So on Friday, Israel attacked this site south of Damascus, And the strike was reported early in the Israeli press, but subsequently the reports were removed from all the media outlets. And it appears that there may have been another case of fake news. And the blame for this one goes to the BBC, because the base that was attacked by Israel, and they flew over Lebanon to fire missiles into Syria so that Syria would not dare shoot back. But the base they hit appears to be the same one featured in a November BBC report, which showed satellite images detailing the purported construction and renovation of a, quote, Iranian military base, end quote, near El Kiswa, which is 8 miles south of Damascus. Now, the BBC report was dubiously sourced to a Western intelligence source. And, of course, Israel used it to ratchet up the Iran is in Syria. But the BBC report itself was very vague and hesitant. They didn't say it was confirmed. They were very ambiguous, saying the satellite images seem to show construction activity at the site. Well, yeah, but the satellite doesn't show who's doing the building. And basically, there was a series of 24 large low-rise buildings, which could be used for housing soldiers and vehicles. And they just went with this idea that this was Iran, and they had a complete lack of evidence for such a claim. And so BBC makes a claim that some new military construction is owned by Iran in Syria, and Israel goes ahead and bombs it. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Ron in Missouri, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. You're on the air.
Okay. Okay. I was wondering if you might know of any website that might give a detailed outlay of what countries we are involved in armed conflict or so-called advisors.
I don't know one, but that would be a really good idea to find. I think probably that sort of thing right now, certainly within the government, is being discouraged, because most Americans don't know how many countries the U.S. is messing around with right now. When that ambush in Niger took place, it came as a shock to most people. In fact, I would say probably none of us really know just how many countries the U.S. is messing around with. Certainly, they're into a lot of the African nations now.
So no idea where to turn, huh?
You know something? That's something I'll research after the show today.
That'd be great, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Now then, over in Yemen, there's been quite a bit of turmoil over the last few days. And apparently, former President Ali Abdullah Saleh has been killed fighting with his former allies. Now, up until this week, Mr. Saleh had been fighting alongside the Houthis in a war against Yemen's current president, Hadi. And Saleh, you need to remember, was the Yemeni president who was removed in the last so-called successful U.S. intervention back in 2012. And only yesterday, we were getting these reports saying that Saleh was back. He was going to resume the presidency, and the Saudis had basically quit. They were going to give up. But now there's been this assassination, and Saudi Arabia has uncorked a massive air attack on Yemen's capital city. So it's escalating, and again, it's another horrific war in a world at war. And it does seem like it's time for us to just start saying, yeah, we're a world at war. All initiated by the U.S. government or the U.S. government's partners and proxies. But there are bloody battles waged on the streets of Yemen's capital as alliances appear to be shifting dramatically. And as if they didn't have enough problems along with the cholera, now there's a diphtheria outbreak racing across Yemen. So we're going to take a break for some commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, Hamas is threatening a new intifada over reported plans that the U.S. will move their embassy to Jerusalem, which is tantamount to recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, the capital of Israel currently is Tel Aviv, but Israel has for many years, many decades, coveted the entire city of Jerusalem, even though under the original United Nations partition plan, there's a Jewish quarter and an Orthodox quarter and a Muslim quarter and a Christian quarter. And lately, of course, Israel has been trying to encircle the city, going into East Jerusalem and displacing the Palestinians who live there. And certainly Netanyahu's been lobbying for the U.S. to acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel to solidify their position. So Hamas is up there. They're very upset about it. They're not the only ones. Even the Arab League is saying this is a bad idea. This will definitely fan up tensions in the region. Jordan and Egypt have also warned the United States against recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And he was supposed to make an announcement today. So far, it has not happened. What we're hearing, though, from Kushner is that Trump is still looking at a lot of facts. And so it looks like Trump is having a second thought about this, because it would basically inflame tensions in the area. It would certainly turn more of those Arab nations against the United States. Meanwhile, Jared Kushner over at the Saban Forum is saying what Israel really needs to do is they need to come to a peace deal with the Palestinians, because there's a risk Palestine might form an alliance with the other Arab states. And this is really the crux of the problem. Ever since Israel was created by carving off part of Palestine, Israel was out there saying, we demand you recognize our right to exist, but we don't recognize Palestine's right to exist. In fact, for the longest time, Israel's official position was there never really was a Palestine. It was just made up by the anti-Semites to plague the new nation of Israel. Golda Meir called Palestine a land without a people for a people without a land, which is nonsense, because there was a thriving culture in that region of the world going all the way back to biblical times. And we put together a page on our website that shows all these maps from the Renaissance, the Middle Ages, all the way back to some of the earliest navigation charts in the area. And they all indicate the presence of a Palestine. So Kushner's idea is that if Israel doesn't tone down, if they don't come to a peace agreement with Palestine, if they keep on going with this double standard of you have to recognize our right to exist, but we won't recognize your right to exist, it is going to blow up the region. And that's all that Israel would have to do to calm everything down, is simply give to Palestine that which it demands for itself, recognition of a right to exist. And all the turmoil and bloodshed and war and horror that we have seen since the foundation of Israel just comes from this one little hypocrisy. The other Arab nations in the region have made it very clear. They'll recognize Israel's right to exist once Israel recognizes Palestine's right to exist. And it sounds like a reasonable course of action, but not in the eyes of the government of Israel. Meanwhile, Netanyahu, possibly to divert more attention from his corruption problems, is on the warpath against Iran. And apparently he's gone on another fiery tirade against Iran, comparing Iran with Hitler's Germany, saying that they both shared the goal to exterminate all Jews. And by the way, Israel's been saying that about Iran for 30 years, along with the claim that they're merely weeks away from having a nuclear weapon. And so Netanyahu is ratcheting up his rhetoric, saying that Iran, you know, they're the new Nazis. They want to kill all the Jews. There's only one small problem with all of that. And that is the fact that there is a large population of Jews that live in Iran. They're quite comfortable there. Some of them are even in the government. One of the world's oldest continually operating synagogues is in Iran. Now, some years ago, Israel made an offer to the Iranian Jews to emigrate to Israel for a financial inducement. And the Iranian Jews said, no, all of our friends are here, our families here, our businesses are here. We'd be silly to leave. Now, obviously, if Iran was really the new Nazi horror and they wanted to kill Jews, they would be starting with the ones within their own border. But they're treated very well. They have full equality, freedom of religion. They don't want to leave there. Meanwhile, ramping up that rhetoric, Pompeo has now sent a letter to Iran warning against attacking U.S. and allied forces, which I don't think Iran is going to do unless those forces are attacking Iran. And then, of course, all bets are off. Now, Israel, along with that law that they just passed to protect Bibi Netanyahu from prosecution for his corruption, they've passed a new one, or they're discussing a draft bill, and it probably will pass, that will allow Israel's army to sue anyone who offends its soldiers by revealing army violations against the Palestinians. And this basically is that when the IDF commits these atrocities against the Palestinians, which they do, anybody who gets it on video and puts it on out there can be sued by those soldiers for defamation. Defamation is a word that Israel and its supporters love. There's the Anti-Defamation League. And the thinking is, it doesn't matter if we're doing bad things, you just are not allowed to talk about them. That's what this law means. Now, getting on over into Korea. Actually, before we do that, let's take some phone calls here. We've got John in Phoenix. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I'm going to switch the topic a little bit. I just got a question, a real question. I'll listen to your response, and then you can let me get to the next caller. I've been wondering for a while, why is the words like jurisdiction and citizen enumeration sometimes spelled with uppercase J and sometimes with a lower uppercase letters and sometimes lowercase letters? I can never figure that out.
Well, I think if you look at the Constitution's original written documents, you will notice that there are occasionally spelling and punctuation and grammar errors. In particular, the Second Amendment, there's an extra comma in there that doesn't need to be there. But this was in the days before word processors and automatic spelling check. And so I think that may be the simple explanation.
It just seemed bizarre to me because it's just those three words. And then it's just those three words that they do it with. And I don't know, or I think it's just those three words they do it with. That's all I wanted to know. You have a good day. Thanks for your time.
It's the verdict. All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Steve in Florida. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, his last caller, I wasn't planning on adding this, but I would have him hang on and wait for John Stadmiller's show and ask Ron McDonald that question. I'm willing to bet there's some significance behind that, but I'm not sure. But I would say throw it by Ron McDonald. But I called on... Basically, I just looked at a web search here, and I found a website called visualcapitalist.com, and I'm looking at an article right now. It says U.S. military personnel deployments by country, and this has been dated as of March 18, 2017, and it basically says nearly 200,000 troops are currently deployed overseas in 177 countries, and it does a breakdown on every country. How much percentage?
Yeah. The U.S. is garrisoning its empire the way ancient Rome did.
Yeah. So I thought for that one caller called in, it's called visualcapitalist.com, and it will show U.S. military personnel deployments by country. Nice breakdown.
Well, it's a good breakdown, and thank you for the reference. However, there are some countries where our forces are stationed that we're not technically in a state of hostility with. So I don't know how accurate that is in terms of determining where the U.S. is actually engaged in actual military operation. But I will take a look at the website, and it might be a good source.
Yeah. Hey, last comment is I'm really surprised, too, that how Netanyahu is able to have the legislation enact a bill basically to protect him. I am blown away by that. And I think the Israelis are very angry about that also, too. Plenty of them were in the streets protesting this action, so it doesn't sound like he has the support he thinks he has.
No, he doesn't, but with the elections being very suspect in Israel, he doesn't need the popular support. The reason the bill went through the Knesset is that it extends to all top Israeli officials, including the members of the Knesset. While they're holding their office, they cannot be prosecuted for any corruption they may be engaging. It's basically a license to be corrupt.
Yep, it is exactly that. Hey, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here and scroll that down here. Now then, getting on over to Korea. Apparently, White House National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster is saying potential for war with North Korea increasing every day. Well, yes, we know the U.S. government is pushing for another war, for several more wars. There's a long-range plan that basically involves conquering the entire planet and dragging them back under the Bretton Woods Agreement, where they have to use our Federal Reserve notes for cross-border trade and banking, or for trade in natural resources, off of which the U.S. economy would make a huge profit. So they're out there doing this war talk about North Korea, and McMaster is now saying that they're going to call on China to impose greater economic sanctions against Pyongyang. And McMaster noted that Beijing's tremendous coercive power over North Korea. Well, there's a couple of things wrong with that. And the first thing wrong with that is the U.S. challenging China's ownership of the islands in the South China Sea. when the Cairo Convention, signed at the end of World War II, returned those islands to China after they'd been seized by Japan, and the U.S. signed that convention. The second problem is that North Korea refused to see the Chinese ambassador who was going on down there to try and calm things down a little bit. So the potential for war is very, very great. And again, Kim Jong-un is not going to attack anybody with his nuclear missiles without a good reason. He is gambling that he can get these nuclear missiles working soon enough to discourage a U.S. invasion. And North Korea has stated that openly. That's the only reason they're spending all the money on the nuclear weapons and the missiles. That's the only way to guarantee peace in their country. It's the only way to guarantee they will not be invaded by the United States. Because the United States, look over the last 16 years, the United States acts really butch attacking countries that can't strike back. But the U.S. seems to be okay with many countries that have nuclear weapons who don't like us, like Pakistan. But we're not making moves to invade Pakistan because Pakistan's got nuclear missiles. Now, meanwhile, Russia is starting to make moves to do a power broker deal with North Korea. North Korea is not listening to China anymore. So basically, the speaker of Russia's upper house, Valentina Matvienko, is going to North Korea after the first of the year. And she's actually a very high official in Russia. She's third in the pecking order in the Russian government behind President Putin and Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. So that would be a significant political coup if they're able to pull that off here. Meanwhile, of course, the United States is rattling their sabers as hard as they can just outside North Korea's borders. And they're practicing how they would do strikes on North Korea's nuclear sites. And this is the biggest ever joint air drill with South Korea, involving 230 aircraft. And it's including some of the military's most sophisticated and powerful aircraft, such as the B-1B Lancer bombers, stealth F-35 Lightnings, and F-22 Raptors. So you can see who the aggressor is here. Now, the deployment of the U.S. F-22 Raptors to South Korea has prompted a reaction from North Korea, basically saying that they do treat this as a provocation and that Trump and South Korea are literally begging for a war with North Korea, which does seem that way to me as well. But again, we don't really know how effective those F-22s are going to be. They certainly don't have the list of problems that the F-35 does. And I seem to recall an episode a few months ago where the U.S. was flying these Raptors along the border between North and South Korea. And the Chinese called up and said, just so you know, we can see those planes on our radar. Because one of the aspects of stealth is that a stealth design is usually designed to deal with a narrow band of radar frequencies, usually the higher frequencies. But old-fashioned lower frequency radars can pick these things up. Now, Senator Graham has come on out and said it's time for the Pentagon to move all U.S. military families out of South Korea ahead of the possible war. So they're definitely moving on. I would not be surprised to see it happen before the end of the year, before the end of the month. Now, as you know, down in Argentina, they've had that tragedy with their submarine, and Russia has provided a remote-controlled underwater vehicle called the Panther Plus. And if you've seen the movie Titanic or a bunch of other oceanographic shows, you know that the Russians really do have a tremendous capability in deep underwater archaeology and research. And they've started to dive on targets. The first one they found turned out not to be a part of the submarine. But they're operating at depths of 700, 800, and 900 meters. At this point, though, it sounds like there was a fire, an implosion, and the crew are all dead. So, like I've said before, I have a lot of respect for anybody who serves in a submarine, and you would never get me on one of those. in a real combat situation. I've been down on the tourist submarines out here in Waikiki, and they're very, very cool. Now, over in Honduras, there are violent protests sweeping the country over alleged election fraud. Because, and even though authorities agreed to a partial recount, the population is convinced that opposition candidate Salvador Nasrallah actually won the election. But at the last second, late at night, the current president, Juan Orlando Hernandez, had a sudden come-from-behind victory, and nobody trusts it. Here's the irony. Apparently, 50 U.S. rights groups have joined the call to urge the U.S. to press Honduras for electoral transparency. This in the country that had a crooked election last year that nobody still wants to talk about. So we're going to take a short break here for commercials, and we'll be back after these few words.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks, but remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And it looks like the problems with the F-22 Raptors in South Korea have already started. It's being reported on Sputnik News that one of the F-22s suffered an embarrassing performance failure. It was able to get back to the airfield, but once it was on the ground, it had to be towed off the runway. So they obviously lost engine issues there. Okay, let's take a few phone calls. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to flesh out a little bit what you were talking about earlier with the Iranian Jews and so on. Back in the late 70s, the United States, Israel, in order to keep ahead of the demographic boom of the Palestinians, tried and did indeed get the United States to airlift thousands of what's called falafel Jews from Ethiopia and Eritrea into Israel. They offered them, of course, free immigration, and of course, Ethiopia and Eritrea in the 70s were in a horrible famine and so on. Since then, by the way, they have been discovered, the Israeli government has been discriminated against them big time, trying to now deport them, some of them being used unwittingly without giving their approval in medical sterilization projects and all that. One of the things that maybe you've also, I don't know if you went into or not, but when they talked about trying to lure the Iranian Jews into immigrating to Israel, it was done with the lure of checks, obviously coming from the United States, to lure them into doing it, and they still wouldn't immigrate.
Yes.
So there's that. But have you covered the Jared Kushner or Michael Flynn thing?
We did a little earlier in the show. We may not have caught all of the aspects. Have you got something we missed?
Well, I missed it, Mike, but it's now been found that the reason it wasn't Russia trying to influence the United States. It was the United States trying to influence, trying on behalf of Kushner, by the way, who's a Zionist, and gave money to the really rabid, horrible settlers and so on illegally. But at any rate, and didn't disclose that he was giving that money. But at any rate, Kushner prodded Flynn into contacting the Russians in order to get their approval or get their acquiescence into killing a UN resolution against Israel.
We did cover that.
Yeah. So at the end, it wasn't us trying to influence Russia or Russia trying to influence us. It was us influencing Russia on behalf of the people who really control us, and that's the Israelis.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there was another item on the agenda when Mike Flynn talked to the ambassador, and that was a message from Trump to not overreact to the latest sanctions against the Russian economy. To give Trump a chance to sort of get in and get things toned down, which unfortunately, sadly, has not happened. Anyway, Peter, we're going to have to take another break here for station identification. Thank you very much for the phone call. And we'll be back after these few words.
Let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.